There lives beyond the ashes of a lost and forgotten time.
Let's go to the Father in prayer, please. Almighty God, King of the universe, we thank Thee, Father, for Thy great love, for Thy mercy, and Thy great goodness. Thank Thee, Father, for this congregation, that church. Father, we stand before You as sinners. Have mercy on us, we pray Thee. Save us. Heal us. Heal us from all the sin that is in our lives. Save us from Satan, the devil. Save us from ourselves, we pray Thee. Only God could save us, and so we trust You to do that. Father, we thank You for Your steadfast love and Your mercy. We thank You for the radio ministry that goes out from this church to all the world. Thank You for our internet ministry. We pray that You'll protect that ministry and help it get reestablished again where the wicked one has defeated us some there. We pray for our ability to go forward to feed the poor. Help us this Thanksgiving as we go forward to feed, and help us today as we feed the poor. Bless every hand that gives and every hand that takes, we pray Thee. Be with our sick and shut-ins and all those that are down and out, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. The title of today's sermon is There Is No God But God, and Jesus Is His Prophet, Not Muhammad. And we're going to talk about that a little this morning. The confession that there is no Allah but Allah, and Muhammad is his prophet, is blasphemy. You must turn from the child molesting false prophet Muhammad and turn to the one and only true God. Muhammad did not worship the Lord, the God of heaven and earth. He worshiped the moon god Allah, as depicted by a crescent moon. The thoughts of a disgusting old man becoming aroused by a child is one of the most disgusting thoughts that makes us cringe of pedophilia and the most despicable of people. Jethro Tull wrote a old rock and roll song that we used to sing, Aqualung. Sitting on the park bench watching as the pretty little panties run. Can you imagine a sick old dirty old man? Well, that's who we're talking about when we talk about Muhammad. It's difficult to accept that the so-called holy prophet married a girl named Aisha when she was 6 years old, but he bragged about the fact that he didn't consummate his marriage with her until she was 9 years old, and he was 54 years old. In his holy Quran, as they call it, in Saraka Baraka, it says that the prophet married her when she was 6 years old, and he consummated his marriage when she was 9 years old, and then she remained with him for 9 years until his death. In Surah Baraka, verse 9, Allah's apostle said to me, "You were shown to me twice in my dream before I married you. I saw an angel carrying you in a sullen piece of cloth, and I said to him, 'Uncover her,' and behold, it was you. And I said to myself, 'If this is from Allah, then it must happen.'" Whether Muhammad actually had a dream or he just said that to please Aisha is not the point. What matters is that what this indicates is that Aisha was a baby being carried by an angel when this so-called prophet claims that he dreamed of her. The Quran promises a heaven full of wine and free sex, Surusha verse 25 and others. If drunkenness and gross immorality is sinful here on earth, how's it going to be right in paradise? The Quran's picture of a paradise is exactly what a 7th century pagan, dirty old man, Arab, would have thought would be wonderful. The carnal conception of a harem with beautiful women, you know, he had about 20 wives, and all the wine that you could drink is in direct conflict with the spirituality and the holiness of the biblical concept of heaven. I'd encourage you to go read the 22nd chapter of Revelation to see what heaven's going to be like. God desires his people to be holy as he is holy. Moses' final sermon to the people before they entered into the land is found in the book of Deuteronomy. Deuter means second, and onomy means law. So Deuteronomy means the second time that God has given the law to the people through Moses. If you'll turn with me now in your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 9. God wanted his people to be holy and to be different from the people in the land. Deuteronomy 18, verse 9. "When thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abomination of those nations." Abomination is a word that means stink. This is what stinks to God. We're fixing to get a picture of what stinks to God. Deuteronomy 18:10. "There shall not be found among you one that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or one that uses divination, or observer of times, nor an enchanter, or a witch." Now, we're fixing to have a happy Halloween here, a festival that in this country rivals Christmas in the amount of money that people spend to decorate for. Our whole society has been brainwashed that there's such a thing it's good witches and bad witches and white witchcraft and all that stuff. Don't believe that. It is all garbage. Every bit of it is garbage. Verse 10 again. There shall not be found among you any one that maketh his son or daughter to pass through the fire, or useth divination, or observer of times, nor an enchanter or a witch, to pass through the fire, that is, to offer your son and daughter in sacrifice to other gods, or consecrate your son or daughter to the false gods Baal, Mochelech, Asherah, divination, from the Hebrew word kol, sim, cast, amani, one who tries to find out the future by casting lots. An observer of times, Hebrew mionim, one who pretends to tell the future, predicts political or physical change by the aspect of the planets, eclipses, or the motion of clouds. An enchanter, Hebrew menachis, one who inspects the entrails of beasts and cattle and lambs and observes the flaps of birds. Divination of serpents is included in this term. A witch, Hebrew mechashep, one who uses drugs, herbs, or perfumes, pretending to bring a certain celestial influence to their aid. Deuteronomy 18:11. Or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. A charmer, Hebrew kober chaber, one who uses spells, words, or such things, such as the tying of knots or the rhyming of words. The consulter of familiar spirits, Hebrews shol ob, one who inquires by means of one spirit to get the answer from another superior spirit. A wizard, Hebrew yedimana, one, a wise one or a knowing one, considered the masculine word of a witch. A necromancer, Hebrew doresh let ham methim, one who seeks to make inquiries of the dead or provoke the dead to disclose secrets from the spiritual world. Deuteronomy 18:12. For all they that do such things are an abomination unto the Lord. And because of these abominations, because of this stink, in other words, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee. Now Israel's about to go in and conquer the land. And God says, this is the reason that I'm going to drive those people out, because they practice this stuff. Deuteronomy 18:13. Thou shalt be perfect with the Lord thy God. Didn't Jesus tell us to be perfect to the best of our abilities? And of course the Apostle Paul spoke of that too, didn't he? That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished to all good works. Thou shalt be perfect with the Lord thy God. Deuteronomy 18:14. For these nations which thou shalt possess hearkened unto the observers of times and unto diviners, but for thee the Lord thy God has not suffered thee to do so. Deuteronomy 18:15. The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, and of thy brethren like unto me, like to Moses, unto him shall ye hearken. Here is a statement that the Hebrew nation, which was being organized, would not be the system by which all nations of the earth would be blessed. The Hebrew nation will be superseded by another system given by another prophet and lawgiver like Moses. In the future, Israel will be superseded by the Church of Christ. The Lord God will raise up for the Hebrew people a prophet instead of diviners, magicians, and observers of time. Here God promises to give them an infallible guide who will tell them all things that makes peace between God and man. The prophet's declaration will completely answer the end of all knowledge that was pretended to be gained by the heathen and false prophets of the nations. This coming prophet will legislate a new covenant. He will be a king and a mediator and the head and the chief of the people of God. He is such a prophet as has never before appeared and would have no equal until the end of the world. The prophet is the Lord Jesus Christ, who was in the bosom of the Father, who came to declare him to mankind. Every word spoken by him is a living, infallible oracle from God himself and must be received and obeyed as such. We'd like to ask our radio audience to visit the Church of Christ nearest your home or call us at 214-821-2123 and be sure and visit our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com for free downloadable a cappella singing and fair to Midland gospel preaching. We'd encourage you now to continue reading with me in Deuteronomy 18:16. According to all that thou desirest of the Lord thy God in Horeb, in the day of the assembly. Now when God gave the Ten Commandments, you'll remember, as we studied the Ten Commandments 2 weeks ago, when God gave the Ten Commandments at Horeb, at the mountain of Horeb, the people were scared to death at the demonstrations and the representations of God. Verse 16 again, according to all that thou desirest of the Lord in the day in Horeb of the assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God. See, God spoke the Ten Commandments, and they said, don't let us hear the voice of the Lord my God. Neither let me see the great fire anymore, that I die not. Deuteronomy 18:17, and the Lord said to me, they have well spoken that which they have spoken. This new coming prophet that God has promised is going to be a desired prophet. When the law was given to people, they were afraid of God and wanted to see Moses. Have you ever thought about what it would be like to see God? Well, we're all going to when we croak. Every one of us are going to go see God. You ought to think about it a little. No man has ever seen God, but the people were afraid when they saw the representations of God, when they heard the trumpet sound and saw the fire and the smoke and the thunder and the lightning at the giving of the law of Mount Sinai, they were scared to death at the representations of God when he spoke the Ten Commandments to them. In Isaiah chapter 6, verse 5, Isaiah sees the representations of God. Then said I, woe unto me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Isaiah thought that he was dead because he had seen a representation of God. In Luke chapter 2, verse 9, and lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were so afraid at the birth of Jesus. The shepherds were so afraid because the representations of God are so frightening. We have a prophet from God to speak for us. Deuteronomy 18:18. I will raise him up a prophet from among their brethren like unto thee, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he will speak unto them all that I have commanded him. This prophet Messiah or Christ is to be a national prophet. Twice God said, from among their brethren, in verse 15 and verses 18, God says that the prophet is going to be from among their brethren. God has just condemned the foreign nations and how they attempted to get revelations from him. God desires his people to be different from the pagans around them. He is going to be a divine prophet. The Old Testament prophets claimed to speak directly from God. Jesus, the New Testament prophet, claimed to speak only God's word. In John chapter 7, verse 16, Jesus answered them and said, "My doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me." In John 8, verse 28, then said Jesus unto them, "When ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then ye shall know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father has taught me, I speak these things." In Matthew chapter 17, verse 5, at the transfiguration of Jesus, "And while he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." Now I'll remind you that at the transfiguration, there appeared Moses and Elijah. And the meaning of this verse, "Hear ye him," is that no longer is Moses, the great lawgiver, going to be the way to God. No longer is Elijah, the great prophet of the Old Testament, going to be the way to God. But this new revelation that's coming by the new prophet Jesus, is going to be the revelation that's going to take us to God. The Father expects His people to listen to the Son. He will be a demanding prophet. The people suffered greatly when they did not listen to the Old Testament prophets. In Jeremiah chapter 35, verse 17, "Therefore thus saith the Lord God of hosts, the God of Israel, Behold, I will bring upon Judah and upon all the inhabitants of Jerusalem all the evil that I have pronounced against them, because I have spoken unto them, but they have not heard, and I have called unto them, and they have not answered." In John 8, verse 51, Jesus says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my sayings, he shall never see death." Now, on the other hand, if a man doesn't keep his sayings, what does that say? Well, he'll surely die. In John 6, 63, "It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they're life." If you want God's Spirit, you want to live forever, get involved in the Word of God, into the Bible. Deuteronomy 18, 19, our original text now. "And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he," the Christ, Jesus, "shall speak in my name, I will require it of him." Require his life, require his soul. The reverse also is true. He who does not keep the words of Christ will not see life. In John chapter 12, verse 48, "He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day." Deuteronomy 18, 20. "But the prophet which shall presume to speak a word in my name." Let's stop here for a minute. You hear it all the time from people today. "The Lord told me this, and the Lord told me that." And you ask them, "Well, how did the Lord tell you?" And they say, "Well, he told me." And you tell them, "Well, how did he tell you?" "Well, he told me." "Well, did he call you on the phone?" "Well, no, he didn't call me on the phone." "Well, how did he tell you? How did the Lord tell you?" "Well, he laid it on my heart." Oh, how wonderful. Isn't that sweet? Isn't that sweet? "He laid it upon my heart." As if the thought of my mind and the intents of my heart is equal to the voice of Almighty God. What blasphemy. There's an idiot rented this building. I call him an idiot because he turned out to be one. He rented this building over here next door, and the guy that has that building cheats people. He gets them to put out a big deposit, and he rents them the building for a big bunch of space, and he don't tell them that our parking lot don't belong to them. So this guy, he puts in the fire and ice ministry, or the fire and light ministry over there. So he's over there, and they park all over here. So I sent him a letter and told him, "Cost us $5,000 a year to redo this parking lot. Thought y'all might like to contribute." If you're going to park over here, if you're going to abuse the lot, we thought you might like to contribute. And so he comes over, he sees me. He said, Brother Kelly, he said, the Lord told me to go over there and rent that building and start this ministry. I said, he did. He said, well, he sure did. I said, it's amazing that he'd tell you to do something like that and he wouldn't tell you there wasn't no parking. I can't feature God leading you into a trap like that. I said, now how exactly did he tell you? He said, well, he told me. That's what he's got. I said, well, how did he tell you? Well, he told me. Did he call you on the phone? Did he send you a letter like I did? No, no, he laid it on my heart. Well, the fire and last ministry, it lasted 2-3 months and went belly up. God doesn't operate like that. God doesn't lay thoughts on your mind and intents in your heart. The voice of Almighty God, if you ever heard the voice of Almighty God, you're quaking your boots. Daniel fell out and said that he was like a dead man. John, who loved the Lord Jesus so much and was so familiar with the Lord Jesus that he ate the Last Supper leaning on Jesus' breast with his arm around him, with his head on his shoulder, on his breast. Now that's awful familiar. That's awful familiar. I'm not laying my head on any of y'all's shoulder, on your chest or anything. I mean, that's close friends, isn't it? And John said when he saw Jesus in the beginning, the first chapter of the book of Revelation, he said, I fell at his feet as a dead man. If you hear the voice of Almighty God, you'll know it, I guarantee you. And it won't be anything like laying something on your heart or some thought that comes in your mind. Deuteronomy 18:20. But the prophet which shall presume to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or shall speak in the name of other gods, even that prophet shall die. Here God commands Israel to put to death all false prophets who do not speak for him. This Elijah did in 1 Kings 18:40. They'd had a great demonstration between the God of heaven and earth and the God Baal. And all the Baal prophets, they cut themselves with knives and they danced around and they tried to get fire to start their fire, their sacrifice, and nothing happened. And Elijah poured water all over his and then God called on God and God burned up the sacrifice. And so then Elijah said unto them, take the prophets of Baal and let not one of them escape. And they took them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishron, and he slew them there. 400 prophets of Baal. Now, I've been involved in some close quarter fighting in my life with guns, knives, and things like that. And I'm telling you, it is bloody. It is bloody. Can you imagine what Elijah looked like when he killed 400 men? At that book of Kidron. The purpose of this was not to punish these false prophets of Baal, but the protection of the people. God doesn't take error lightly. He wanted his people protected from false prophets that would lead them astray. Deuteronomy 18:21. And thou shalt say in thy heart, how shall we know the word that the Lord has not spoken? This new coming prophet will be a demonstrated prophet. They needed to know who was who if they were to kill the false prophets. Jesus, the prophet, gave directions to the church about true and false prophets. In Matthew 7, verse 15 and 16, beware of false prophets that come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are raving wolves. Right out here by a water fountain, stop and look right there, is a picture of a flock of sheep, and right there in the middle of it is a wolf. And he's got on a little sheep hat, and he's got on a little sheep fleece, and he's got on little sheep leggings, and he just right there styling right in the middle of them. And you can look at that picture, and people don't see it. They don't see the wolf right in the middle of sheep's, or in the middle of this flock of sheep. False teachers are the same way. The Apostle Paul says, For Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Do you think if the devil come to you today that it's going to be like Halloween? He's going to have two horns and a tail sticking out behind him and a pitchfork? No, he's going to appear. He's going to have on a white collar and a black suit. And he's going to be high and mighty and fancy. He's going to have a ring for you to kiss. He'll probably be carrying around crosses, burning incense and making all kinds of charms and wanting to take care of your little babies, your little boys, wanting to take care of them. Just like Muhammad, there's a bunch of false molesting priests in this world too. And you need to beware of all of them, every one of them. In fact, Jesus is fixing to get to that. Beware of false prophets that come to you in sheep's clothing. Inwardly they are raving wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather thorns of figs or thigs of thistles? 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try ye the spirits, for they are of God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. And I've taught you how to try them. You try them by comparing them to the Word of God. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. That was in that time. Gnosticism was just beginning, and they said that Jesus was just a miraculous vision. He wasn't really a human being in flesh and blood. And if that was true, then him dying on the cross was a joke. God tricked us. That shows you how Gnosticism is such a false religion. Every spirit that confesses in that time that Jesus Christ come in the flesh is of God. Now some evil spirits today will tell you Jesus Christ has come in the flesh and take you off into other false doctrine. Don't go for that either. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist. I want you to notice, Antichrist is not something that's coming at the end of the time. Antichrist is something that's been here all along. This is the spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, but even now is already in the world. Antichrist was in the world in the first century. Antichrist is in the world right now today. Antichrist means instead of Christ and place of Christ, and carries the idea of substitution, that Greek prefix anti. So anything that's in place of Christ, the Pope is Antichrist. He sits in a church displaying himself as the head of the church when Christ is the head of the body of the church, the first begotten from the dead, that in all things he might have preeminence, the book said. Speaking about the church at Berea, Paul said of them in Acts 17:11, these were more noble than those at Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether these things were so. And I'd encourage you to do the same thing. Don't believe Kelly. Don't believe anybody. Search the scriptures daily and see for yourself whether these things that I tell you are so or not. I'd like to encourage our radio audience to visit the Church of Christ nearest your home or call us at 214-821-2123 for a free CD, and be sure and visit our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com for free downloadable a cappella singing and fair to middling gospel preaching. Turn with me now to Deuteronomy 18:22. When a prophet speaketh in the name of the Lord, if the thing follow not. Now here's how we can know a true prophet and a false prophet. If the thing follow not, nor come to pass, that's the thing that the Lord has not spoken. But the prophet has spoken it presumptuously, and thou shalt not be afraid of him. We had some jackass not long ago that was predicting the end of the world. Y'all remember that? It's just this few months back. Now he's predicting it again. It's a month from just the other day that the end of the world's going to come. He done predicted it again. And he's got millions of followers, and they sent him all manner of money because he doesn't do nothing but preach and beg money. Send money because there's going to be a rapture. Well, let me tell you something. The word rapture is not even found in the Bible. And that man's a false prophet because he missed it the first time. And if you miss it the first time, you don't get a second time. Every word the prophet says must come to pass exactly as he says. Now, we need to call a spade, brethren. We need to stop worrying about being politically correct and offending some Muslim or some false prophet or some child molester or Aqualung or anybody else. When is a prophet a prophet? When everything he says comes to pass. A prophet has to be 100% accurate. He cannot miss a prediction. This verse here, verse 22, let's read it again. When a prophet speaketh in the name of the Lord, if the thing follow not nor come to pass, that's the thing that the Lord has not spoken, but the prophet has spoken it presumptuously, and thou shalt not be afraid of him. This verse here was called upon to be a witness when Micah, the prophet in the Old Testament, had his confrontation with Ahab. Turn with me to 1 Kings chapter 22. 1 Kings chapter 22. And they continued 3 years without war between Syria and Israel. And it came to pass in the third year that Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, came down to the king of Israel. And the king of Israel said unto his servants, Know ye that Ramoth in Gilead is ours, and we be still, and take it not out of the hands of the king of Assyria. The king of Assyria had captured this area known as Ramoth Gilead. And he said in Jehoshaphat, Wilt thou go with me to battle to Ramoth Gilead? And Jehoshaphat said unto the king of Israel, I am as thou art, my people are as thou people, my horses as thou horses. And Jehoshaphat said unto the king of Israel, Inquire, I pray thee, at the word of the Lord today. And the king of Israel gathered the prophets together, about 400 men, and said unto them, Shall I go up against Ramoth Gilead to battle, or shall I forbear? And they said, Go up, for the Lord shall deliver it into thy hands of the king. And Jehoshaphat says, Is there not here a prophet of the Lord besides? And notice, Jehoshaphat had sense enough to know that these really weren't the prophets of the Lord. That they were just claiming to be the prophets of the Lord. And so he says, Is there not here a prophet of the Lord that we might inquire of him besides these guys? See? Besides, that we might inquire of him. The king of Israel said in Jehoshaphat that there is yet one man, Micah, the son of Imlah, by whom we may inquire of the Lord. But I hate him, for he doth not prophesy good concerning me, but evil. And Jehoshaphat said, Let not the king say so. As he said, Let's don't judge him before he comes and speaks. Let's hear him out. Then the king of Israel called the officer and said, Hasten thither unto Micah and the son of Imlah. And the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, sat each on his throne, having put on their robes in a place void and a place empty in the entrance of the gate of Samaria. That's the capital of the country of Israel. And all the prophets prophesied before them. Now here we got two kings, one the king of Israel, the other the king of Judah. Capital of Israel, Samaria. Capital of Judah is Jerusalem. And so they're both sitting in the gates there. And Zedekiah, the son of Chenasha, made him horns of iron and said, Thus saith the Lord. Now he's quoting the Lord now. With these shalt thou push the Syrians until thou hast consumed them. And all the prophets prophesied so, saying, go up to Ramoth-Gilead and prosper, for the Lord shall deliver it into the king's hands. And the messenger that was gone called Micaiah and spoke unto him, saying, behold, now the words of the prophets declare good unto the king. With one mouth let thy word, I pray thee, be like the words of them, and speak that which is good. And Micaiah said unto thee, said, as the Lord liveth, what the Lord saith to me, that will I speak. So that he came to the king, and the king said unto him, Micaiah, shall we go up to Ramoth-Gilead to battle, or shall we forbear? And he answered him and said, go and prosper, for the Lord shall deliver it into the king's hand. And he said it in such a disparaging way, the king knew immediately that he was putting him on. And the king said unto him, how many times shall I adjure you? He just told him what he wanted to hear, in other words. How many times shall I adjure you that thou tell me nothing but that which is true in the name of the Lord? Now the prophet speaks, and he said, I saw all Israel scattered upon the hills as sheep that hath not a shepherd. They don't have a king, in other words. And the Lord said, these have no master. Let them return every man to his house in peace. And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, did I not tell thee that he would prosper no good concerning, prophesy no good concerning me, but evil? And he said, hear thou therefore the word of the Lord. And I saw the Lord sitting on his throne, and all the host of heaven standing by him on his right hand and on his left. And the Lord said, who shall persuade Ahab that he may go fall at Ramoth-Gilead? And one said on this manner, and another on that manner. And there came forth a spirit and stood before the Lord and said, I will persuade him. And the Lord said unto him, wherewith? And he said, I will go forth and be a lying spirit in the mouth of all of his prophets. And he said, thou shalt persuade him and prevail also. Go forth and do so. And now therefore, behold, the Lord has put a lying spirit in the mouth of all these thy prophets, and the Lord has spoken evil concerning thee. But Zedekiah the son of so forth went to near and smote Micaiah on the cheek and said, which way went the Spirit of the Lord from me to speak unto thee? And Micaiah said, behold, thou shalt see in that day when thou shalt go into an inner chamber to hide thyself. Boy, he put a curse on him, didn't he? And the king of Israel said, take Micaiah and carry him back to Ammon, to the governor of the city, and to Joash, the king's son, and say, thus saith the king, put this fellow in prison and feed him with the bread of affliction and the water of affliction till I come in peace. And Micaiah said, said, if thou return at all, if you come back alive at all in peace, the Lord has not spoken by me. And he said, hearken, O people, every one of you. Now here the prophet calls on Deuteronomy 18:22 to be his witness. And I'll read to you again Deuteronomy 18:22. When a prophet speaketh in the name of the Lord, if the thing falleth not nor come to pass, that's the thing which the Lord has not spoken, but the prophet has spoken it presumptuously, and thou shalt not be afraid of him. So here, the true prophet of God called on this verse to be his witness. If this king comes back alive, God's not spoken by him. Verse 29. So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, went up to Ramoth-Gilead. And the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, I will disguise myself. I'm going to be smarter than God. I bet you there's people in this audience that thinks that. I bet there's people sitting right here under the sound of my voice that thinks that you're smarter than God, that you can get away with stuff and that God don't know. I'll disguise myself and I'll enter into battle and but put thou on thy robes. And the king of Israel disguised himself and went into battle. And the king of Syria commanded his 32 captains that had rule over his chariots, saying, fight neither with small nor great, save only with the king of Israel. And it came to pass when the captains in the chariot saw Jehoshaphat, that they said, surely it is the king of Israel. And they turned aside to fight against him. And Jehoshaphat cried out. Boy, they're all trying to come and get the king of Judah. And boy, he cries out, see. And it came to pass when the captains of the chariots perceived that it was not the king of Israel, that they turned back from pursuing him. And a certain man drew a bow at a venture and smote the king of Israel between the joints of his harnesses. That's where the armor laced up the side. The arrow went right between his armor. The stuff that covered his front and the stuff that covered his back, it went right between it. The arrow went right between it wherein a certain man drew a bow at an adventure and smote the king of Israel between the joints of the harnesses. Wherefore he said unto the driver of his chariot, turn thy hand and carry me out of the host, for I am wounded. And the battle increased that day, and the king stayed up in his chariot against the Syrians and died at evening. And the blood ran out of the wound into the midst of the chariot. And there went a proclamation through the host about the going down of the sun, saying, every man to his city and every man to his country. So the king died and was brought to Samaria, and they buried him, the king, in Samaria. And one washed the chariot in the pool of Samaria, and the dogs licked up his blood, and they washed his armor according to the word of the Lord that he had spoken. I don't think that we ought to fool with God, do you? I don't think we ought to fool with God. The Old Testament prophets prophesied the coming of the Messiah and his kingdom far in the future, but generally their predictions were of those things that were shortly come to pass. This is so that the people might have the fullest proof of their divine mission. And we're going to be studying the prophets here beginning in the next few weeks. And you'll see that these prophets, they prophesied all kinds of things about their immediate time right there, and they just had a little bit to say, just a kernel of knowledge about this coming kingdom of God, this church of Christ that was coming. How do you know, preacher, that these verses found in Deuteronomy 18, 15 and 18, let's read them again. Deuteronomy 18, verse 15. The Lord thy God will raise up to thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren. Now notice he's going to be a Jew. That leaves Mohammed out, so we know he's a lying dog and a false prophet. Of thy brethren, like unto me, like Moses, to him ye shall hearken. Verse 18. I will raise him up a prophet from among their brethren. The second time God says that he's going to be a Jew. He's not going to be any other race of person. This prophet that's coming, this Christ, this Messiah, is going to be of the tribe of Israel, a Hebrew. I will raise him up a prophet among their brethren, like unto thee, like unto Moses, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I have commanded him. Now, how do you know, preacher, that this is talking about Jesus and is not talking about Muhammad? Prove it. Okay. Turn with me to Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3, verse 22. Acts chapter 3, verse 22. Peter has preached the first gospel sermon. And they were 3,000 people converted and baptized. Now he's going up to the gate, beautiful, and he sees a man there that's been lame since birth. And this guy has laid out there at that gate for years and years and years and begged. And everybody knew him that he was lame. And so Peter and John look on him, as the guy thought, to give him some money. And Peter says, "That which I have, silver and gold have I none, but that which I have I give unto thee in the name of Jesus Christ. Arise and walk," and took him by the hand and pulled him up to his feet. And such a great, notable miracle was done. Just think of what had to take place. This guy never stood up. He had no sense of balance. He had no muscles in his legs and in his feet. This guy probably had polio or something like that. A notable miracle. This wasn't a little old Mickey Mouse thing. This was a notable miracle. And this guy went walking and leaping into the temple and praising God for his healing. And Peter stands up and preaches to the great bunch of people. And finally he says in Acts chapter 3, verse 22, "For Moses truly said unto the fathers," he's going to quote Deuteronomy 18, verse 15 and 18, "For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet, the Lord your God shall raise up to you of your brethren like unto me. Him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you." You got to hear him in everything he says to you. "And it shall come to pass," verse 23, "and it shall come to pass that every soul which shall not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people." Peter directly quotes Deuteronomy 18 and says it's Jesus. Now who are you going to worship? Who are you going to believe? You're going to believe Peter and the apostles. Now all the rest of the apostles were there bearing witness to this testimony. You're going to believe Peter and the apostles, or are you going to believe the false teacher, Muhammad? Who are you going to believe? I'd encourage you to go back and do what Peter said in the sermon before this sermon in Acts chapter 3. He told you what you must do to be saved. You need to believe the gospel, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he arose again the third day according to the Scriptures. You need to believe that. You need to put your faith and trust and confidence in God to save you, because without faith it's impossible to please him. You must repent of your sins. In Acts chapter 2, verse 38, the people had cried, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" And Peter said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Won't you follow God's plan of salvation? Come now, become a Christian. Put your faith and trust in Christ alone to save you. Won't you come now while we stand and sing?
Thank you.
Austin, do you believe with all your heart that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God?
Yeah.
Now I want to repent of your sins and confess Christ as Lord.
Yeah.
Say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
If you go in right over here, brother, we'll baptize you right away. Kara, right?
Yes.
Kara, face the church. Do you believe with all your heart that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God?
Yes.
Now I want to repent of your sins and confess Christ as Lord.
Yes.
Say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
Amen. If you go in right over here, sister, we'll baptize you right away. Brother CB, sure glad to have you, man. How long have you been coming here?
About 3 months.
Thank you. We're sure glad to have you. You believe with all your heart that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God?
I do.
Now I want to repent of your sins and confess Christ as Lord.
Yes.
Say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
Amen. Go in right over here, brother. Is that your son that's with you?
Based on Carol's confession, I now baptize this repentant believer in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit for the remission of sins. Based on CB's confession, I now baptize this repentant believer in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit for the remission of sins. Based on Austin's confession, I now baptize this repentant believer in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit for the remission of sins.